When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, Ducks fans. Welcome to another episode of the Quack Report. My name's Carter. I'm joined by Nate. We are going to attempt a speed run of this episode, not because we have anything going on today, but because there is literally so very little to talk about that
we don't want to
spend too much time on it.
Yeah, we don't want to deprive the listeners of us, but at the same time, if we were to go like deep dive into some of these games and that, you could go back to any other episode that the Ducks were in a losing streak. It's not good. And just get the same gist.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
unintentionally going to aim for the shortest episode since like season one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we always say that and like it never really happens.
That,
like we
yeah.
always push like an hour 15 on those kind of days. Like the odd time, I think we've maybe hit like.
Which is still a shorter episode, 50. I guess.
Yeah, shorter compared to what we usually tend to do. Yeah, but. It's there's just like at this point we got 5 games left. We've been eliminated. Like the jump's not really there. We've talked about everything that could possibly go wrong in this season. Like also just a disclaimer. We're not talking about the Flames game on this one. We're recording before this game happens, so we've only got the Seattle and Edmonton games to go. And then on Wednesday when we do our post game. Show after we do the watch along because that's this week, right? I have no idea like the concept of time right
Wednesday,
now.
Wednesday 7 p.m. Pacific on the THPN YouTube channel. You can catch us watching the Anaheim Ducks versus the Edmonton Oilers the next round within a week of watching that team, unfortunately. And I'm not talking about the Ducks. You can do that on the THPN YouTube channel with us. Bring some drinks, alcoholic or non-alcoholic, it's totally up to you. Bring some good vibes and we're all gonna hang out, watch some hockey. So
And then after that we'll do our over on our Quack Report YouTube channel at Quack Report Pod on YouTube and Twitch and Twitter and Facebook as well. I guess those will technically be up there. We'll be doing a regular episode again, probably a bit of a shorter one, but we'll talk about the game in like against Edmonton in a little more detail, as well as the one against Calgary. And we don't have a game before then, do we? Wednesday.
Yeah, Sunday, Wednesday.
Okay, yeah, I didn't think we had any weird back to backs in there, but yeah, cool. I don't know anything you want to say before we get started into the game talk or.
I guess it is kind of the game talk. So let's just get into it.
Okay. Sounds good.
I'm going to straight up time how short this game talk section is.
Okay. Go ahead.
So I get the feeling it might be one of the shortest ones.
Oh, probably.
So, and timer started.
Okay. First of these couple games we got to talk about against the Seattle Kraken was a 4-1 loss on Thursday, I guess that was.
Thursday, yep.
Yeah.
I know the days are blurring together for me too.
Very much a game. Seattle, you know, they showed up for, put in their best effort. Like it's what we've seen from Seattle kind of all season. And then the Anaheim Ducks were present and accounted for.
I guess, sure.
they also put in their best effort, but like you know,
did they though?
I think this is all we kind of have to give, honestly.
Two goals against in the first period. Two goals against in the third period.
What, one of those an empty net.
I don't give a fuck.
Hey, if we didn't give up anything in the second, I am very much impressed considering we just don't show up for second periods.
No, and we almost didn't for this one. Brock McGinn punting it at 18:44 of the second period.
Yeah. shots only 9-7 for the Kraken in the second period. Like, that's pretty decent.
They eased up. Let's be honest. They eased up.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, we can kind of spin that as a positive that, you know, the Ducks just with their lack of effort made the Kraken confident in easing up. Again, is that a positive? I have no idea. Actually, I don't think that is.
I don't think it is either.
No. Let me try this one more time. The Ducks. No, you can't do it. No, there's no way. It's not possible. Yeah.
Yeah.
The expected goals for the Ducks was 1.1. We got one. So, I mean, that shows, like, you know, we gave 100% and we got what we deserved out of this one, I guess. Or maybe we gave 50%, so we got, you know, just one goal. I don't know. I don't really know how expected goals is done. Is it based on, like, how you perform in the game, or is it based on, like, you know, what happens before the game, like looking at the matchups on paper?
No, it's more
like quality of shots, and
quality
like possession
of shot,
time,
location,
and like so. Okay.
Yeah, location, yeah, okay. Quality of shots, comparing that to, you know, how often does like that placement and whatever result in a goal. And
oh, gotcha. Okay. So, okay. So if we have a 1.1 expected goals, that means we didn't show up at all and it was just an abysmal effort.
Kind of
like, yeah, it's that combined with just a really strong Seattle defense and not giving you those opportunities, I guess,
a little bit. So, because like you can take a whole bunch of outside shots, right, and gather up like a 2.5 expected, right?
Yeah,
that just means that you peppered the goalie and you would think that one or two would kind of squeak through
eventually. Yeah, just like as out of odds or whatever. Okay.
Yeah. So, but in this game, we didn't even have that. Like, you can, yeah, it's, there's no shots. There's no shots at all.
None. We took zero shots this whole game. Somehow scored a goal.
It feels like that.
Bad. Yeah.
It feels like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. 19 shots on goal in this game compared to the 39 of the Kraken, which that we're more used to seeing, not even just from the Kraken, just from any team at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, the 19. For the Ducks specifically, you take a look at that on a shot map, and it looks pretty fucking sparse.
Yeah, no, I bet it would. Yeah.
So, I mean, outside of the Ducks play, which again is for these next, like for this game and the Edmonton one especially, or would just seem redundant if I'm gonna like deep dive into it. Mm-hmm. Or that kind of thing. The only other thing I have to complain about, honestly, is that I had to either choose to listen to the ESPN broadcast, mm-hmm, or the, and this one I might get some flack for, but I don't even care at this point, or the Ducks radio broadcast. Unlike the ESPN broadcast, just overall, like the only highlight of that entire broadcast to me was PK Subban. And he kept, like during the intermissions, and he kept getting cut off.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the rest of it just, like, and I've been the one who, like, on both my personal and on the TQR account are, you know, it's like, okay, it's not the she sucks because she's a girl kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Like I have said that I love Cassie Campbell Pascal. Like, if, like, not trying to single her out, but just in this example, it applies, I guess. I love her, like, in the intermissions, right? Because she can take the time to figure out what she wants to talk about and kind of has that window to talk about it. And it's really insightful. I love listening to Cassie during intermissions. I've listened to her for quite a, for a few years when she was also the color commentator for Flames games. Mm-hmm. It's brutal. It's my girlfriend jokes that, you know, like, I got to get to the point when I'm talking about something. And I'm sure I do it on this show as well. Mm-hmm. Right. But like, I got to have the build up kind of thing. But Cassie Campbell is the definition of get to the point, because the cult, like, because the play by play has to cut you off because something is going on the ice.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So, and, but even then, Leah Hextall is just leaving. There's times as a, like, I'm not even a play by play. I would, I suck at play by play.
It's not for everybody. I would suck at it too.
I suck at it.
Yeah.
But just leaving a bunch of dead air, like not in moments where you would maybe normally do that kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Or, like, you know, the teams are making a change. Defensemen are playing catch behind the net and then just like holding it. And like, you're like, oh,
yeah.
Like Fowler with the puck behind the net passes to Shattenkirk, who trades back as teams are making changes.
Yeah.
Then you go up like that. In that context, it's okay. But like,
yeah,
you know, if there's some sort of movement, like you should be able
but
to
like that's what it that. But that's what it sounded like when everything is going on around the net.
Yeah.
And you're just like if you, like you're watching it and you're like, okay, like obviously I saw what happened, but if you're mm-hmm. just like listening to that, like just, you know, say you're working on some homework or you're cooking dinner while the game's on or something like that, right? And you just missed about like three quarters of what the hell just happened.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. Right? It would be like, oh, Comtois with a shot on net, scramble.
Yeah. And it like, it wasn't.
And
even,
now pucks back out at center and you're like, okay, well, obviously nothing happened. So I'm not going to pay attention. But it, like, it was actually an exciting moment or something.
Apparently there's a highlight reel moment in there that's going to be on the top 10 later this week or something like that, right? Yeah. Like there's like an amazing save and it was just like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And like it's not even like just the broadcast, like I'm talking the entire broadcast. There were I forget, like there were multiple times where just like cameras were in random positions, it felt like. And there was one play in particular, I think it was in the second period, they went between three different cameras in the span of, I don't even remember who it was though for the Ducks, but the Ducks bringing it from their end into Seattle's went to three different cameras that started with the wide shot and instantly zoomed into somewhere else that was nowhere near the puck.
Yeah.
I was like, why? Why? And like, we talked about I think we talked about it at least like the few weeks ago when there was the ESPN clip of those analysts that were talking about like, who's going to be the next team out of New York to win a championship.
Yeah.
Right. And somebody said the Rangers and they're like, the Rangers don't count. Right. Just showing that ESPN does not give a shit about hockey.
Yeah.
You watch just this as a broadcast altogether. And you can tell that ESPN does not give two shits about hockey.
Yeah.
I actually enjoy when the games are on TNT.
Because, you know, they put in the effort. Because
they put in the effort. Yeah. They have like good discussion in the intermissions and stuff like that.
Chaotic discussion, but it's still discussion and you get something out of it.
There's at least something out of it, right? Yeah. You're like engaged in it.
Yeah.
So like, and I get, you know, not everybody's like 100% on top of everything, but it felt like they were even just like talking about standings and they're just out of the loop of what's going on. And I'm just like, okay, cool. So, and where I said I was probably going to get some flack was the, you know, or listen to the Ducks radio broadcast. It honestly just kind of puts me to sleep. I'm not going to lie. So So I was like, okay, pull my hair out or fall asleep by accident instead. I guess I'll pull my hair. So
yeah, that's fair.
that's literally the, like, that's how much I took from this game.
Mm-hmm.
Was not at all. I'm more riled up about fucking ESPN.
Yeah. I will say too, I'll just plug another show on the Hockey Podcast Network really quick here for you, Nate, but also for anyone else that might be interested. Terry Ryan on his show, Tales with TR, had Leah Hextall on as a guest actually for his 200th episode, 147B. It was just last week. Well, I guess about two weeks ago. You did see that? Yeah.
I haven't watched it yet, but.
Yeah, so for anyone that hasn't, it's on YouTube where we do the watch-alongs at HockeyPodNet. You can watch the stream or watch the podcast or, you know, wherever you're listening to the audio version of a podcast, you can get it there too. But yeah, it was really good discussion. So I'm just gonna plug that in there as well. for anybody.
We're gonna show on Leah Hextall and her entire like crew around her kind of thing. But go take a listen to the interview with her, because
yeah,
no bias aside, and I haven't even listened to it yet. It's probably better.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, like generally, like Leah Hextall does like a decent job with like the like the national broadcast. Like, is it perfect? No, but she's like fairly new to I guess play by play. So like,
and and I get it. Like everybody, I'd be saying this if it wasn't Leah Hextall. I'd be saying if it was John Ehlers kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Like it's. Yeah, and she's another one. Like I love her, like between the benches, right? Or as the color commentator. Like that's where Leah Hextall, I feel like, thrives, right? Yeah. Not in the play-by-play position, but every time I've watched a Ducks game on ESPN this year, it's been Leah Hextall, and I just would rather not.
Yeah, no, which is fair.
So
yeah,
like I'm not one to complain about broadcasts too often, because they're typically pretty good, right? Up here in Canada, Sportsnet, TSN, pretty good. Like I said, like I enjoy the TNT ones when that's it, but even the Bally ones have been pretty good, right? The only thing we've been really complaining about the Bally ones is we're just like the puck trail and the power play is kind of stupid. It's back to the 90s kind of thing. But that's really the only complaint there.
Yeah.
Right. So it just feels like every month or so there's some conversation about TNT and specifically their hockey product. Like not just like
ESPN,
ESPN. It just feels like there's always something.
Yes. Yeah. No. Yeah. Right? As a whole, like I think it takes away from it. Yeah. No. I agree. Yeah.
PK Subban makes that at least like semi watchable.
Yeah.
As a whole.
Oh yeah. So. No. 100%. I guess going back to the game in particular, Brock McGinn scored the only goal for the Ducks, 12th of the year, 19th point. I don't know what that is with the Ducks specifically. Maybe his third goal, if I had to guess. Fourth. I'll say third.
I think you're right on third, and I have it. Oh, no, it's only his second goal.
Oh, okay.
Give third
a little,
point.
A little too much credit. Third point. Yeah. Okay.
So, third point in 13 games.
Damn, we've had him for 13 games already?
Yep.
Yikes. Yikes. I mean, in fairness, he's not playing with, he's not playing in the top six anymore.
Is the top six playing in the top six? Let's be honest.
Well, no, but.
Where we're at.
I guess, yeah.
We have a, yes, technically you have a top six. Do we have a top six right now?
Yeah.
We maybe have a top three and they're spread out over the three lines.
Okay, our top six. He's not playing in our top six. Okay, I guess technically he is. But, I mean, our second line... Well, okay. Daily Faceoff has our second line as McGinn, Grant, and Silfverberg. But I'm going to call bullshit on that because the, quote, third line is Jones, McTavish, Leeson, which... Any line with McTavish on it is your second line, especially with Jones. So
if we're looking at 5-on-5 time on ice specifically for this game against the Kraken, Strom, Vetrano, Comtois was your first line at 14:42.
Okay.
Jones, so
where's Zegras on this? Daily Faceoff is fucked. Where they don't have Zegras on here. Sorry, continue.
McTavish, Leeson, Jones was the second line at 9:38. Grant, Silfverberg, McGinn was the third line at 9:20. And Nestoranko, Carrick, Lundestrom was the fourth at 6:18.
Okay.
If you're looking at 5-on-5 time. So.
Okay. Gotcha.
So yeah, third line, but.
Yeah. I guess Zegras didn't play in the. I was like, wait, you didn't say Zegras' name, but yeah, he didn't play against Seattle. That's right. So
no, yeah. Out just precautionary for injury on his leg there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, anything else you got for this one? I guess we didn't really talk about Dostal. I don't know if you wanted to touch on him.
That kid played as well as he could.
Yeah.
Right. He put up a 921 save percentage in this game. 0.3 goal save above expected. Like, he did exactly what he should be. I guess to bring a positive out of this entire segment, Dosal's last five games, 2-2-1, a .913 save percentage, and a 3 goals against. That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, I mean, the 3 goals against doesn't look good, but like, when you have the team in front of you that you do, like, I don't know what else you would really expect. So I think like the 9-13 speaks a lot more about that. And then there's probably a goal, at least a goal in each of those five games that you couldn't put on him. So that would lower that his goals against to like a 2, which seems more accurate.
I was going to say, I even look at that 3 goals against, not only with the team that plays in front of him, but also just the increase in scoring league wide. And I go, you know what? That's pretty decent, actually.
That too.
For a young guy like that.
Oh, yeah.
The team that he is.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's still like pretty decent. Like, he could easily have a 5 goals against average and like that's and still be like, okay, like, we know the team he's playing in front of. Like, we can't really blame him. I guess just for context for goals against average, we're going to remove Linus Allmark from this and his 1.88 because that's just stupid. But Philip Gustafsson with Minnesota has a 2.01 as the second highest goals against average this season. But he's only played 35 games, actually.
So. Yeah.
And then 25th would be Jacob Markstrom with Calgary, 2.96 goals against average. So, you know, Dostal's still top 32, I guess.
Yeah.
The NHL app just only goes to 25, which is why I picked that one. So, yeah, no, it's not bad at all. So,
yeah. All right.
Yeah, I guess moving on to the next game, game 76, a 6-0 loss to the Edmonton Oilers by the Anaheim Ducks. Do you want to start with this one, Nate?
Sure. Shit stomped. That's all I got for you.
Okay.
I literally have no other notes about this. Like, I can summarize the whole thing in like one or two sentences. If you're not going to be able to get past this year's version of Jack Campbell, and you're going to let Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl just walk into the slot like they're walking to their own fridge, kind of thing.
Which, to be fair, I also run to my fridge at 30, 40 kilometers an hour.
Yeah. No, actually, sorry. I'm going to rephrase that. So the Campbell thing still stands.
Yeah.
If you're going to let Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid walk in, like go into your slot as fast as a guy high as fuck will run to his fridge to gather whatever he can from it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a 6-0 night. Yeah. that's all there is to say. Doesn't matter who is in net, Gibson or Dostal, later on in the third period, right? They're gonna have a bad time because nobody else is doing anything.
Yeah, and honestly, this is exactly as you expected here. You had said 6-1 for this game, and it was 6-0. So you were pretty bang on. Like, I don't think I could never see you predicting, like, you know, 0 goals against Edmonton. So like the one was kind of like a token freebie for just a defensive collapse.
Honestly, it's because I figured, okay, Campbell will probably be in net for this one. And after seeing the season that he's had, right?
There will be at least one. Yeah.
You would think there'd be at least one. Not the case.
Yep. So yeah, I mean, it really doesn't get much closer than that. So yeah, but 4-1 Seattle, we didn't have that, just in case anyone was curious. I had 5-2, you had 5-3. So just, well, we got it up here, but yeah. Go back.
There just because I'm curious, actually.
What are you curious about?
For Campbell. Oh, goody. That was his first shutout of the year.
That was only the second shutout for the Oilers, too, this year. Skinner got one the game before against LA. That was the first shutout of the year for the Oilers. And then the second one was Campbell against the Ducks. So at least you weren't the first, right?
I feel like a lot of Ducks fans are at this point, it's just mixed emotions.
Yeah.
On one hand, you're like, fuck, can you do something, please? On the other hand, you're like, keep this going. Keep this going. Get me Connor Bedard.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, that's. Yeah. Yeah. That you, yeah, that's accurate. That's, I feel, yeah,
that's what it is right now, right?
So yeah, I had a couple things I wanted to say about this one that
go for it.
You know, I think are Ducks related. And because it's a Ducks show, I'm not going to talk too much about the Edmonton Oilers on here. But yeah, I thought the first period for the Ducks was like really good.
We actually outshot a team.
Yeah, like significantly, and like I would say,
and it wasn't like
outworked as well. Maybe not outplayed, but outworked
like that. It was
What was it? 17 something? 17-10.
Yeah,
in the first period.
What the fuck?
Yeah, and only down, I guess 1-0. Yeah, just 1-0, giving up a late goal. But I think at some point too, it was like 17-7 were the shots, and then the Oilers just kind of had like a late push that you know they went ahead. And got the first goal and then had a couple extra shots in there. So, like, you know, Ducks were really just a few minutes away from having, like, a solid period where they come out of it 0-0. And they had lots of good chances, too. Like, the Ducks easily could have been up, you know, 2-0 or 2-1 at the end of the first period just with the way that they played and the quality of shots they got in that first. It just didn't carry over into the next 40 minutes. And, you know, it was kind of all downhill after that. But you had up here that the expected goals was 5.42 for Edmonton to 2.95 for Anaheim. I think with some of the good shots they had, like Anaheim easily could have had 3 goals in this game if not for Jack Campbell, which never thought I would say that this season.
I was going to say, how many times has anybody said that this year?
Literally zero. Before, I guess, before yesterday evening, literally zero.
Experience Anaheim Ducks hockey, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. If so basically out of this, Nate, if you ever are having a bad stretch of games as goalie for lacrosse, just find yourself playing against the Anaheim Ducks to get a good confidence boost there.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I'll figure that out somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I just wanted to bring up the delay of game penalty. We talked off air about this for a long time, trying like nerding out about the rule book, and we're not going to go into that on here because it's not relevant to the outcome of the game. But
and the Oilers don't need help scoring, so
yeah, as you said, and as the score shows too. So yeah, but you thought it felt kind of quick for the. The delay of game call. I guess what we probably should have done is timed the other icings in that game to see kind of what the average time was between when the whistle was blown and when the puck was dropped. But that's, you know, well, you know, I'm not doing a whole lot today. Maybe I'll make a spreadsheet. Just go rewatch the whole game, timing all the icings. No, I'm not probably going to do that. But
all I know though is that like the you know television broadcasts for like on any network are pretty good at, you know, like they'll show a clip or something like that, like during that break in the play. Right.
Yeah.
But it's normally back, like right when the faceoff's happening.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Right. Or it's like just been dropped and they hadn't even finished, at least on Sportsnet. They hadn't even finished the actual replays of what they wanted to talk about. And there's already a penalty being announced.
Yeah.
So yeah, it felt a little quick to me and very pointed as well. The one thing that we noticed was like everything was directed as a bench minor.
In the
which
rule
I mean
book,
like penalty's a penalty kind of thing, and you know, not everything's gonna be 100% perfect, I guess, right?
Yeah.
But it all just felt like odd and very pointed. I know it seemed more like questioning potentially on the TQR Twitter. I was more just laughing at the fact that it's like, yeah, like, come on. We got to go. Okay, no, you delay game and we're going to go to a TV timeout, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of funny. Yeah,
I'm going to rush you to sit the fuck down so we can just chill out for a minute and a half of TV commercials.
Yeah.
And then we're going to play the power play. And then the first stoppage after that, which was just over 2 minutes after we came back from the commercial break. We're going to go to another one.
Yeah.
I'm so gotta
get that ad revenue. Gotta fill Gary's pockets.
Yeah, exactly. I'm so glad that, you know, I paid to watch ads.
Yeah.
Rather than hockey games.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, no, it was just kind of odd. I mean, I guess maybe they gave it to Vetrano here because they could tell, because it was an icing, so like, and the other four guys were at the faceoff dot, so they could say, oh, no, this is specifically on Frank Vetrano, whereas if it was during substitutions, then it's like, okay, how do you call it on a specific player? Yeah. Like, really, it's on the coach. You can't give the coach a penalty. That's the point of the bench minor.
But when you have Max Comtois talking to the other official...
Yeah.
Right. And less than 5 seconds after that official says, okay, we're good to go. Like, here's kind of that 5 second warning. Mm-hmm. Right. And then within 5 seconds, the other ref is already calling it on Vetrano.
Yeah.
It's one of those moments where it feels like the ref is just trying to draw attention to themselves.
It does. It very much does. Yeah. And I mean, we don't really know if this was.
Sorry,
something
just,
that it
is this thing on? Is this thing on? Refs, you're not the center of attention. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit.
Yeah.
Those are the types of refs that give refs a bad name.
That's true. That's very true. But yeah, we don't know if like Frank Vetrano was like delaying the game at any point earlier, like on icing calls, or if it was the team or Dallas at any point either. Yeah. Like, because a lot of what was in the rule book was, okay, you get a warning, and then if it happens again, then you get the bench minor. Yeah. So, like, we don't know if this was a consistent trying to, like, milk the rest time, I guess. So, I don't know. It's hard to say, but, yeah. I've never seen it called before, but, like, in an NHL game, but obviously, like, it makes sense that it's in there, but it's
like, I have it's seen it before. Weird. This just felt really quick.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. Besides that, I mean, oh, actually, there was one other thing I wanted to say. I think it was after the first goal. Yeah, Hyman's in the first. The camera panned to Dallas Eakins, at least on the Sportsnet broadcast that we were watching. And like, he looked kind of disappointed. And then he just started to like clap, but it wasn't like, okay, guys, let's get going. Like next, trying to hype the team up. It was more just like, oh, everyone else around me is clapping. And he was like, yep. Like it was that. Did you notice that?
Now that you bring it up. Yeah, I remember it.
Yeah. I don't know if he's just like, excited when the team loses, or if he was just not paying attention, like,
no, that dude
at
is
all.
Fucking so gone, dude. Like, there's the Mars rover gone on Mars, and then there's wherever the fuck Dallas Eakins' head is at.
Yeah, like, I've obviously been there before. Like, you know, you're at a play that like you're not super excited for it, so you're like just off dozing, you're counting the bricks along like the back wall or something like that in the theater, and then everyone starts clapping and you're just like, that was great, yeah, good job. Oh, was that my kid that was singing? Oh man. Obviously I don't have kids, but you know, we've all been there where like you're not paying attention and everyone around you is clapping, so you just join in. That's what it felt like for Dallas.
Oh my god. What was this game? 75? Okay. What? Six more games, including tonight with Calgary? No, seven?
Six more for us. Yeah, five more for everyone else listening to this. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it, everybody. That's it. Yeah. That's all we hit. God forbid.
Yeah.
That's all we have left. That's all we have left before we have somebody who's not just collecting a paycheck and it's buddy with the guys.
Okay, it's still not guaranteed. There's very much part of me that is unsure. Here, I'm gonna play this little clip. I know it was in the highlight pack here. So, and I know it was after this goal too.
Yeah. So we got everybody celebrating. He's looking up. He starts just the clap.
Yeah. Like. It's just short, but
Yeah, that's a good goal. Good goal. Good job.
Yeah, that's the kind of clap that it was.
Alex Higgins forgot for a second that, you know, Edmonton was how many years ago for him?
Yeah. But still, like, I've never seen.
I mean, I guess they're back wearing those jerseys though, so he just he's getting confused.
It can be confusing for sure. Yeah, but still, like, I've never seen a coach celebrate a goal outside of like a series winning playoff overtime goal.
Yeah,
a 1-0 goal. Like, a coach literally has zero reaction to it. They're just like, yep, okay, you're up next. Let's get the change going. Like, it's their team that scored, or if it's like the other team, you know, usually they're angry, or just they just like stare and like they shake their head and they're like writing on their notepad. And
or you got Paul Maurice in Florida from earlier this week, who's just fucking laying into every single guy that, like, when you got Matthew Tkachuk a little bit wide eyed, like, and really chewing on the mouth guard, that's where you know he got his attention.
Oh, right? Oh, that was quite the clip. For anyone that hasn't gone to see it, you should look that up.
The best part about that clip in particular, even, I'm pretty sure that was while the goal was being reviewed, which I think got overturned. I wasn't watching that game, but, like, it's like reading the comments and like the context within it as well. The goal got overturned, so they didn't have it against them, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. And he's still just laying into them because it's like whether or not this counts or not, you let that fucking happen.
Yeah. I mean.
But I was also laughing at all the Panthers fans going like, oh, it's about, you know, it's nice that he's now showing up to be the coach.
Yeah. I mean, they are in a playoff position now. Like, they are second wild card. at least as of last night. But they took they overtook the Penguins.
The Penguins are playing Philly in just a couple hours here, though. So
yeah, with that game in hand, so.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be close. Interesting anyways, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, we're definitely not talking about, I guess, no, we were kind of still talking about that one, but we're just kind of rambling on about this game now. So what's the timer at for?
We're at just about 33 minutes, but I honestly probably want to say about 5 was actually like the actual game itself.
We had a good 10 to 15 minutes on ESPN / TNT and all that.
Just different broadcasts, and then we're talking about the refs and just nothing about the particular game, because one, the Ducks didn't do anything that's worth talking about, in my opinion, and two, just those other things just actually excite me more at this point.
Yeah,
because the Ducks are not doing fucking anything worth talking about.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic when you're doing a Ducks-centered podcast twice a week.
Yeah.
I have a week left of this and school together. As long as I can make it through this week, I'm good.
I don't know. We're going to get to upcoming games. I don't know. Yeah. We're going to get to the upcoming games for the first half of the week, but, you know, the second half of the week doesn't look much better. So
if you'd like to see me potentially have a mental breakdown, be sure to tune in on Wednesday night on the THPN YouTube channel as the Anaheim Ducks play the Edmonton Oilers again.
Yeah. And if it doesn't happen there, it might happen at Quack Report Pod for our post-game show. Yeah. I guess before we move on with what little news we have and the lone upcoming game that we've already basically talked about and whatever else we have, let's take a quick break. Our friends over at DraftKings Sportsbook have a word that they want to say. Well, I guess Nate has to say.
I'm saying it on behalf of them.
There you go. There you go. We'll be back in just a minute to wrap up this episode.
The biggest tournament in college basketball is underway, and the action is just getting started on DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 on any pregame moneyline bet and score $150 in bonus bets if your team wins. Plus, combine multiple bets for a shot at an even bigger payout. DraftKings will be featuring parlays and odd boosts all tournament long, so be sure to check out DraftKings Sportsbook every day to see what they have in store. So, what are you waiting for? Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with the code THPN. Right now, new customers can bet $5 on any pregame moneyline bet and get $150 in bonus bets if your team wins. Again, that's promo code THPN, as in the Hockey Podcast Network, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
All right, so one piece of news. Actually, no, we have two pieces of news. One and a half.
Yeah, because the one we don't have a whole lot of information on at the moment. So,
Yeah, or maybe two half pieces of news. I don't know. We've got a small bit of news, is what I'm trying to say. injury update, John Gibson is currently listed as day-to-day. He left the game against Edmonton. I just kind of thought, like, okay, it's over. Let's give Dostal some time against some of the best shooters in the world. And then, you know, we'll go from there. Maybe start Gibson against Calgary or see how Dostal does against Edmonton. Maybe start him against Calgary on Sunday. Again, I don't
Dostal did have a game against Edmonton. I think it was the last one, actually.
It was the first one of the season because he won that one. Yeah. Or the first meeting of the season between those two. It was like a 4-3 win. It's burned into my head. from earlier, so you know, not really sure what happened there. Like, the only thing I could think of is when Draisaitl ran into him on the second goal of the game, like, it looked kind of awkward, but I mean, he continued to play
He didn't swap until halfway through the third period, and that collision happened in the second, so
yeah, and like that, early in the second too. So it is quite a bit of time.
So I think it's just something that we missed in particular.
We'll see what happens with him for the rest of the season. I want Gibson to be okay,
but I'm A-okay with going to Dostal and Gage Alexander for the rest of the
year. Yeah, that's what I was just gonna say. Like, it'd be kind of neat to see what we have in those two guys for the last six games, but yeah, which obviously we don't want anything too bad to happen to Gibson because like he's just so injury prone.
I guess it's not listed in here, but you could definitely go for that because Callie Klang is now assigned to San Diego.
That's true. Yeah.
So Eric Sinek, Klang in the A, Alexander Dostal up in the N. I could do that.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, it's possible for sure. So
it's nice having goaltending depth.
Yeah, right.
And futures.
yeah. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily call it depth at this point because a lot of those guys are not proven in the NHL, as in only Dostal is, but you're right. We have futures. We have lots of possibilities. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But let's go with this then. We went Gibson, Stolarz, and didn't go shit. We have to bring up the AHL guy. We went, oh, okay. Yeah. Dostal's coming up. Sweet.
It's like, sick. We get to bring up the AHL guy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. You're excited about that because you're like, sweet. Like, we want to watch this guy play. He's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Let's go for it, so,
yeah. The other piece of news here that I didn't even hear about, and I don't even know where you found this, was that the Ducks acquired right wing Judd. I'm assuming it's pronounced the same
Caulfield.
Caulfield. But it's spelled differently. There's an L in the middle, another L in the middle. Caulfield. So it's so no relation to Cole Caulfield, but Judd Caulfield. We got his reserve rights from Pittsburgh in exchange for the reserve rights for defenseman Timo Nickel. Caulfield, 22 years old, played with the University of North Dakota. He also played with Trevor Zegras and Drew Helison, who are Ducks players / prospects there.
That was at the UNS national team development program.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you know, cool, I guess. We'll see what happens there.
And here's an unsigned. Here, you take this unsigned guy, and I'll take that unsigned guy. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So that's what Pat Verbeek has been king of, is the not NHL level trades.
Yeah.
Or less bit. So, Caulfield's numbers look good. This season, he's put up 10 goals, 19 points, in 39 games with North Dakota there. 62 points in 133 games for his college career. with the U.S. national team between 2017 and 2019, put up 74 points, 26 goals in 123 games played with them. So there's something there, but it's not, he's not, by like kind of my thought, he's not going to be like a top guy by any means.
Yeah.
Like kind of bottom six at most kind of ceiling. And that's like the high point, I would say. So kind of, top AHL guy, maybe in a couple of years or something like that. So
yeah, potentially.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing to get too wild about. Let's put it that way. So
yeah,
but that's the majority of trades that we've been seeing from Pat Verbeek. Let's be honest here.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I don't know. I'm like Nesterenko, I think, like, because we got him, he was a sixth round pick. But like his numbers looked a lot better the last couple of years in, yeah. Like he was almost more of a point per game pace the like, last couple seasons. So like
maybe middle six guy.
Yeah. I don't want to say like, oh, Caulfield was drafted around higher. So like he's got to be better because obviously they've had different development paths, but. Yeah. You know,
we've seen guys taken in the top five just flame out in a couple of years.
Yeah.
We've seen guys who were literally the last pick of the draft go on to have incredible careers.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So
you never really know.
It's purely just a picking order. That's all it is.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, exactly. Those are the couple bits of news that we have. So nothing too exciting there. But if you do want to see something exciting, then this next clip is, maybe not the most exciting thing you'll see, but it's somewhat exciting. So this was from a couple days ago, fight with Peterson of Columbus.
Yeah.
I want to say Lane Peterson. Does that sound right to you?
At this point, I know like four or five guys on Columbus. That's how relevant the team feels lately.
Yeah. Lane Peterson of the Columbus Blue Jackets has played. Oh, he used to play with San Jose, apparently.
That's why I didn't give a shit about him.
Yeah. Here you go. He's played in Arizona, San Jose, Vancouver, and Columbus.
All within the last like 3-4 years, probably.
Yeah, since 2020.
Yep.
71 games played in the NHL.
I'm not saying that as a knock on him. Those teams, he's on them, sucked. So
yeah, and it makes sense that you would not really have heard of him. So
yeah.
Anyways, this is Lane Peterson and Trent Frederick of the Boston Bruins squaring up for a fight here. You know how this is going to go, hey?
As soon as you said Trent Frederick, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, so they, and just one punch to the jaw by Frederick, and Peterson is down. So at least he knew he fucked up right away. Like, he's not out cold, but like just, you know, they're dancing around each other. They go in for the grab, and Peterson just connects on the jaw and
folds like a table with a Buffalo Bills fan jumping on it. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Like you can tell that Peterson's not out, but he's also not doing well.
No.
Here. He like it's like, yeah, he just folds and then you can tell he's still like awake because his hand comes up. He's like, no more. I know I made a mistake. I'm sorry.
But I'm laughing because he gets up and his hands are like kind of going. And I'm like, no, dude, yeah. this is done, man.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. And it's not very often.
Probably yelling at him just like, no, dude, no.
Yeah. It's not very often that you see an NHL fight go that quickly and one guy just gets one good lick in and is down. But when it happens, it just feels so satisfying to watch. I don't care who it is. It's just so good.
My only wish, replace Frederick, Marc-Andre Fleury.
And replace Peterson.
Jordan Binnington.
Oh, I know. That would be so good.
It's the only thing that I would change about them. That's fucking hilarious. Holy shit.
And
it's got fucking rocked on that.
Oh my gosh. One more time. Trent Frederick is a big guy, but Peterson isn't like that small either. 25 years old, 6 foot, 192. So like, you know, compared to Frederick, who is, I think around the same age. Yeah, 25, 6'3", 214. So no, a little more of a reach, about 20 pounds on him. But, you know, still a fairly even fight, I would say. But for Frederick there to just one punch Peterson, that a big energy move.
I would say so.
Yeah. I got nothing else for it.
I got nothing else either.
Yeah. One punch, one BDE. That's all. That's all. Yeah.
All you need is just one BDE to... Nope, never mind. I'm not. Nope, not going there.
just one big duck to take you out.
Right across the jaw.
Thank you guys for tuning in. This is the last episode ever of the Quack Report. Jeez. Yeah.
Oh.
We shouldn't have gone there. But we did. Oh well.
We did.
Too late. Too late now.
Yep.
One upcoming game.
Episodes.
No, we don't. One upcoming game to talk about, as we've already said, we're doing the watch along for it on the Hockey Podcast Network YouTube channel. Wednesday, the Ducks will be in Edmonton, 7 p.m. Pacific time is when that one is, for the last game of the season between these two teams. Ducks will be looking to tie the season series in this one because they won the first one 4-3, as we mentioned. Then Oilers won 6-2 back in January, and then this one that just happened. So, yeah.
Do I just copy and paste my prediction from last time?
Sure, I can do that.
Actually, yeah. No. I'm going to be nice to the Ducks. We're going to make it 5-1.
You're going to go 5-1?
Yeah. I'm going to be nice to them.
Okay, fair. I'm going to say 6-2 again. I guess that was the score of the second game. Yeah. I'll take that one because I think a bagel is a little unrealistic. I don't think the Ducks let that happen again necessarily. But I also think my 8-3 prediction was a little bold last time. So,
I mean, you're only 2 goals away from it and you gave the Ducks too much credit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean. I want to take your prediction from last time. I'm going to go 6-1. Although, actually, this is the second half of a back-to-back for Edmonton.
They in LA the night before?
They're in LA the night before, yeah.
This will still be a cakewalk compared to...
Yeah, no, I'm still... Yeah, I'm just changing it back to 6-2.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I guess Arizona is after this, right? Yeah, that's yeah, Saturday.
Yep.
Is Arizona. So we don't have to.
Yeah, don't have to talk about that, but that's gonna be in Arizona, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't have a whole lot for today's episode, to be honest with you. So
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm sorry to everybody listening. I don't think anybody else really has anything else either at this point.
Yeah.
So, and at least no, in this time frame of these couple of games, right? So.
Yeah. Yeah. One question actually that I had for you that's not right. related to Ducks at all, but it is hockey related, is we have the first playoff matchup that is set in stone. It's just a matter of home ice advantage now with the Tampa Bay Lightning clinching a playoff spot. They are now for sure going to be playing the Toronto Maple Leafs in the first round, same as last year. Oh, excuse me. And yeah, now it's just jostling for who gets home ice advantage. So let's just very briefly preview that playoff matchup. Who takes that one? How many games? If playoffs were to start today, Toronto has home ice advantage.
Honestly, I want to say Toronto so badly, but it feels wrong until you see otherwise to bet against the Lightning.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the Lightning just to see if I have some weird high power that what I say, the opposite will happen kind of thing. Because apparently that happens when I place bets on Ducks games, like specifically on the outcome of them. So I'm going to go with Tampa on that one.
That's your superpower from your mutant gene, is that whatever you say, the opposite happens.
Yeah, I apparently just fuck up certain teams, just certain ones. Mm-hmm. So
only the ones that you actually enjoy and kind of cheer for.
Yeah, both my heart and my head are saying the Leafs finally do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think of the way that it's lining up right now, it's the ultimate slaying of demons for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
Because your first round is the Lightning. Mm-hmm. You not only get past the Lightning, you get past the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're probably playing Boston in the second one.
Most likely, yeah. I don't give a fuck if it's the Islanders or the Penguins or the Panthers or the Sabres or the Sens, I guess, technically aren't eliminated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you beat the Bruins and you go on to the third round. You're probably able to take on whoever else happens to get there.
Carolina, New Jersey, New York, one of those ones.
I feel like you got a good chance.
Yeah.
And then you have to wait for whoever comes out of the West, which is a lot weaker overall.
There's definitely a lot less 100-point teams as it stands right now. Like, yeah.
As if Toronto is able, it's the same thing as Washington getting past Pittsburgh in the second round, right?
Yeah.
If they can do that, all bets are off.
Yeah. And could you imagine Boston losing out in the second round? Like, Boston fans, though? Yeah,
for sure. And that would line up more with President's Trophy winners.
Yeah.
So.
But, like, their season is, like, historic on not only, like, a franchise level, but a league level at this point. So, it's just, it's nuts. But the
President's Trophy curse.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So. I feel like anybody who would say Toronto, it's like, oh, look, I didn't give up on Toronto. Like, I knew that this year was going to be the year. And it's like, buddy, you've been saying Toronto for the last like 15, 20 fucking years.
Yeah. And like, I have been somebody who has been saying over like the last 2 years, I'm like, I feel like this is Toronto's time finally.
Yeah.
Right.
So like,
but anyone, now, but looking at those 2 years in hindsight compared to what that team looks like now and how it's going, if there is any year, especially with Kyle Dubas about to be up with his contract as the GM, if there is any year that it happens, this is it.
You said that I'm pretty sure you said that, like, for the Canadian division, though. You're like, oh, if there's any year that it happens, it's this one, because they don't have to play, like, the powerhouses of the East, like Tampa and Boston. Yep. It's like, oh, their first-round matchup is fucking the Montreal Canadiens, who, like, barely hit 500.
I just said that in the past. But looking at, in hindsight, those teams compared to what it is now, in the past, that was wrong.
Yeah, but how is that any different? Or like, how is this year any different? Like, what's different about the Maple Leafs this year that you think this is the year?
There was always the talk about their being kind of the depth there or that kind of thing. But say in that Montreal series, like, I get it, the mental impact of it, of losing your captain the way that all happened, right? With John Tavares and the unfortunate collision with Corey Perry. But one guy goes down. Yeah, it's an important piece, but not on the Maple Leafs, not the most important. And that's not supposed to be a slight to John Tavares.
Yeah.
But the whole thing crumbled, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This year, they've seen pieces fall out and they've been able to hold on and keep going.
Okay. Fair enough.
Like, just overall, like, the mentality, the depth on the roster, just kind of everything. Like, it's like Boston is doing the Last Dance thing, right? Because it's a lot of those guys probably last crack at this, right? Yeah. With contracts coming up and the age of their guys and everything like that too, right?
Mm-hmm.
It feels like Toronto has just taken on that mentality in a sense to me.
Yeah. No, that's fair. Yeah.
I'm just like, it has to happen now.
Yeah.
So because if
they're almost in desperation mode. Because, so like,
yeah,
you know, that they're all going to give 110%.
Yeah. Cause if Dubas is gone, Keefe is gone.
Yeah.
Right. Because those two have been tied together since junior mm-hmm. hockey. And at that point, you know, like then it's, you're getting closer to, if Dubas is gone this year, then you have somebody else coming in to try to negotiate with Austin Matthews starting in July. Right.
Yeah.
But it's a brand new person, right? It's not Kyle Dubas that Matthews is talking to, mm-hmm. who he's been talking to for the last few years, who those two guys understand each other and stuff like that. Right. Like mm-hmm. the entire dynamic encompassing that organization changes so drastically.
Yeah. So yeah, no. Yeah. So that's fair. Yeah. I'm also saying we've
already be able to reconstruct this roster a little bit and everybody buy into that type of mentality.
Yeah. Right? Like they are so successful largely because of John Cooper as the coach. Like he can just get everyone to buy in. He can implement the systems like just like at whim, essentially. Like he's a very smart coach, but also like the core players have bought into that, and they essentially kind of force everybody else either by example or by like, you know, saying if you want a spot on this team, like you have to play this way kind mm-hmm. of thing. Like by some way the core guys like Stamkos, Kucherov, Point, Hedman, Vasilevsky are saying this is the way the Tampa Bay Lightning play, so this is the way that everybody else has to play, and it just works. So
exactly.
Yeah. So. It's just like such a well-oiled efficient machine in Tampa Bay that like it's hard to count them out. Like they could just squeak into a wild card spot and they would still probably only have like plus 200 odds to win the cup.
Yeah.
Like, so it's just nuts what they're doing.
So for all of that, that's why I'm saying heart and my head are telling me this is finally the Leafs' time to at least get out of the first round.
Yeah.
Right. If we're focusing just on that series, it's the Leafs' time to finally get out of the first round. Mm-hmm. But out of my mouth is coming Tampa Bay, because my head is also saying don't count out Tampa until you see it happen.
Yeah. How many games?
That one's still going to be a grind. That'll still be like 6 or 7. It's not going to be a quick series by any means.
No. Yeah. I would be shocked if it was less than 6 as well. I would probably say 6. Yeah. Well, or 7. No, I think it probably goes 7, honestly.
Like Toronto fans are going to instantly go into the fetal position if it goes to game 7. Even if like it's them winning game 6 to push it to a game 7, they're just going to instantly be in the fetal position.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's how it goes. Like I think Tampa Bay takes a like 3-2 series lead, and then Toronto takes game 6 and then game 7 to Tampa.
Yeah.
It's kind of what I see. So. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted your thoughts on that, just to get into playoff mode a little bit, since that's the only matchup that's been set so far.
This is a duck show. Why are we talking about playoffs? Playoffs? You want to talk playoffs?
Well, we're not talking Ducks playoffs, that's for sure.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. We gotta still enjoy the playoffs to some extent.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I guess I'm still waiting to see if either of my teams make the playoffs. I might have a very early start to my golf year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I hope you're not waiting to see if the Ducks make the playoffs.
No, but just overall.
Yeah.
So.
So, I mean, we made it over the hour mark. We did it. That was kind of my goal.
I kind of figured. I was like, why are we talking about the Leafs and Lightning at like right now? Oh, okay. Yeah, we're just adding a little bit of time. Given just some people still some content. I like it. I appreciate it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure a lot of people out there.
They had me earlier just being like, no, sorry, I got fucking nothing for you guys today.
Yeah. But I'm sure we have a lot of people that have like an hour-long commute on their Monday morning, so they look forward to filling that entire time with the Quack Report. And You know, that's, we're, who are we to deprive you of that?
If you are one of those people, man, there are way better shows that you can listen to.
Well, I mean, you know,
thank you very much for listening, for choosing to listen to us.
They would still have a commute home. They would have a commute there and back Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, assuming they work Monday to Friday. So, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
There's lots of other time to listen to other more stimulating content, I'm sure. But yeah, Nate, if people want to talk, I don't know, playoff hockey with you, just anything not Ducks related, where can they do that at?
I'm going to tweak it a little bit on you here. If you too also want to talk about how awful just the overall ESPN broadcast is, you can tweet at me at Tate Nahmas, TateNahmas.
Perfect. And I'm on Twitter at Carter_Potts, POTTS_97. Quick reminder, we will be doing a watch along at HockeyPodNet on YouTube, 7 p.m. Pacific time on Wednesday, followed right back here by a post game show, which is also kind of a regular episode. So, yeah, tune in for that. Thank you guys for listening, and go Ducks, go.